Cella luna, mezza mare, mamma mia, mare d'are. Figlia mia, putterara, mamma mia, pensaccia tu. Sette donna, biscia, olo, ite va, ite bene, sempre baccalare del mare bene. Se ci picchia, bande, se è baccalare, figlia mia.
Hi there, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week, another week of a lot of stuff. And on the market front, well, let's take a look at that. We saw the last week, the markets were in panic, literally panic, collapsing all over the place. And then what happened? All of a sudden, things turned around. On what news? Well, let's go back to Friday, because that's when it all began. The markets were way off. And on the news on Friday that J.P. Morgan Chase's CEO, Jamie Dimon, was going to buy back some stocks, $26 million worth. $26 million of stock. The CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase was going to buy back. Now, remember, this is what boosted the markets up. This is how they regained their strength after diving so terribly for so long. So, the guy says to you, listen, I'm buying back my stock. Why should that? Well, that's confidence, they said. Oh, yeah, confidence. Confidence, con game, con man. Oh, but the stocks went up. And also stocks went up on the other news that the gross domestic product in the United States moved ahead, the grand total of almost nothing, 0.2%. And they made that, however, a big deal. That was seen as a positive growth. How could that be positive growth? We're looking at GDP growth this year, last year actually, about 2.5%. Since the Great Recession began in 2008, we're looking at about, on average, 2.2% GDP growth. And most of that growth, you know, we saw where the money went. As the Oxfam report came out, we see 62 people in the world having more money than half the world's population combined. And in the United States, 400 people. 400 people have more money than, let's see, $2.25 trillion, that's right. 400 people with $2.25 trillion worth of dough. So when we're looking at why the markets went up, well, it doesn't make any sense. It's just a lot of baloney. So we're seeing something here that is really nothing more than a con game. And that's the only way that I could explain it. Because then what also happened on Friday is that Deutsche Bank, the bank stocks are getting bashed all around the world. I mean, you're looking at the European bank sector down 24% since the start of the year. You're looking at the S&P 500 down more than 9% year-to-date on the financials, energy, and the materials sector in that territory, they're down almost 20%. So, what do we have? Well, Deutsche Bank's buying back their stock, and that's supposed to be looked upon as good news. But it's really no news at all. All it is, they're buying back their stock, as well as other financial companies saying they're buying back their stock. And that has been taken as a sign, a positive sign, that, well, things are rebounding. Everything's fine again. Happy days are here again. They're not happy days. What else brought the markets up? Well, the Chinese markets were closed for an entire week because of the Chinese holiday, the Lunar New Year. So when they reopened up on Monday, the Shanghai Index, which is down 47%, from its high of last year, 47% down, spikes up. You know on the news of? The great news that, now get ready for this, hold on, that their exports declined and their imports were down. Imports were down almost 20%. That's right, almost 20%. One lousy piece of data after another. But yet that was enough to boost the markets up again. And you know why? On the good news that the data was so poor that the Central Bank of Japan, the People's Bank of Japan, excuse me, of China, is going to now stimulate the economy because the data stinks. Now, I'm not making this up. That on that news, the markets go up. And then on the other news of the markets going up in Japan, remember the Nikkei index is getting bashed after they came out with that Abenomics scam, too, of negative interest rates on June 29th. The market's been in a plunge since. So now the data comes out from Japan. Their GDP, their gross domestic product, is down 1.4% on the year in the fourth quarter. That's right, down, minus 1.4%. The markets spike upward on you know what news? That those numbers are so lousy that they're going to do another round of quantitative easing. Abenomics 1 didn't work. Abenomics 2 didn't work. Negative interest rates didn't work. But once you fail, keep failing. Try again. That's the motto. And that's what we're seeing happening. All that's going on is this one big Ponzi scheme. It's a confidence game. These markets are going up on the confidence that the banks have enough money to buy back their own stock. I mean, this guy Jamie Dimon, what we should call him, Legs Dimon. You know, like the old snake oil salesman. Step right up, try my elixir. I'm telling you, it works great. Yeah, like Wonder Bread. It'll help your body grow in 12 ways. I'm buying back my own stock in my own company that I'm the CEO of, and therefore that shows you confidence. So that's why the markets are going up. It has nothing to do with the fundamentals of the economy. All it is on fiction. The fiction that more stimulus is going to work after it hasn't worked since 2008, despite trillions of dollars pumped into the economy, now it's going to work. Here's the headline from yesterday's New York Times in the business section regarding the economy. Global shares buoyed by investor faith. Yeah, the investor faith that because Japan's economy shrank so terribly, the government's going to have more stimulus. Faith in that. Faith in that because the Chinese government is going to boost the economy because of their lousy numbers. Again, Chinese exports fell, you know, some 11% in January. The exports fell 11% and their imports declined nearly 19%. That's the faith that, quote, investors have, that now China will do anything they can to juice up this economy, and the faith that banks are buying back their own stock and buying bonds. So it has nothing to do with the fundamentals of the economy. It has nothing to do with true price discovery or robust growth domestic product. All it has to do is with faith. Kind of like having hope and change you could believe in, because that's all this is. It's nothing more than a con game. And the con game's running wild. And we're seeing it happening across the board, around the world. The markets keep going up on news of nothing. Oh, of course, the news today is that, you know, oil prices are going up. Oh, yeah, they're up over 5% as we speak because Iran has now agreed to cut back and pump out less oil. So the Dow Jones Industrial spiked up, you know, 200 points this morning. And oil's up over almost 6% in Brent. It's $34 And West Texas is up 5.5%, all on this great news that Iran says it supports an output freeze. Okay, that means the price of oil is going to go up, ostensibly. I don't think it will very long, because once the price goes up higher, what happens is all these rigs that have been closed down for all these months because of oil prices falling from $114 a barrel back in June of 2014 to around $32 a barrel on average between Brent and crude and Brent and West Texas. When the prices go up, all those rigs go back on because they want to make more money, and that puts more supply back in. So that's number one. Number two, if they do this, and demand and supply goes down, because demand they're looking at now, according to the International Energy Agency, demand for 2016 is supposed to go down because of the global recession. What happens? Well, I thought they kept telling us that these low oil prices were what's keeping America's economy moving forward. We heard Janet Yellen, the Fed chair person, last week say that Americans were benefiting from low oil prices and that we're saving about $1,000 a year because of the decline in oil, and that's great for the economy. Okay, now let me get this straight. If low oil prices were the reason why, ostensibly, it's good for the economy, now why is it that and higher oil prices are good for the economy, and that's why the markets are surging up over 200 points. And this is across the board, by the way. Stocks rallied over there in Europe. They're up 3% on, almost on average, 3.75%. And there's absolutely no rationale as to why, on one end, they're telling us the low oil prices are good for the market and good for the economy, and now they're saying, hey, because oil prices are going up, that's good for the economy as well. So what we have is basically a hoax. It's one after another. And, of course, the other one that drove the markets up, for the third time in as many weeks, the ECB president, the European Central Bank president, Mario Draghi, well, he announced that, quote, the ECB will not hesitate to act to overcome the significant challenges, end quote, that have racked the global marketplace since the start of the year. More stimulus. Keep Ponzi alive. So when they say things that Jamie Dimon would buy $26 million of his bank shares as a show of confidence, let's break out the word confidence. What does it mean? Confidence. Con game. Con man. And that's all it is. It's a confidence game. That's how they got the word. And that's what's going on in the markets. It has nothing to do at all with true price discovery or gross domestic product, supply and demand, all those little things you learned in Economics 101. And by the way, when I went to school with Economics 101, guess what? There was no such thing as negative interest rates. Nah, they just made that one up. And you know what negative interest rates are? It's a war against savers. It's a war against people that retire, pensioners, people that have them anymore. Where do you put your money? Now, of course, with negative interest rates, if you're living in Europe, you could put it in banks and got less than you put it in there for. Why would you do that? As the cost of living goes up, you're losing money by putting your money in the bank. In America, what do you get when you put a when you put your money in the bank? David Stockman did a, who was Reagan's former budget secretary, did a, he has this website, Contra, David Stockman's Contra website, and he did an analysis. If you had $250,000 in the bank and you're getting interest on it, you know, you could go to Starbucks basically for the interest you made that day and get, like, you know, a double cappuccino, whatever they call it, a grande cappuccino, and a bun. You know, that's how much interest you're earning on $250,000 if you were able to save that kind of money, which most people can't anymore because the jobs aren't very good, are they? No, jobs stink. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a major con game going on, and it's being supported by banksters around the world, and that's one of the top trends, of course, of 2015 was bankism. And again, the top trend of 2016 is global recession. There's no way out of this other than, of course, war. And then when all else fails, that's what they do. They take you to war. And we see that heating up as well. It's the war drums keep beating louder and louder and louder and louder. And we don't see any end in sight to it. You look what's going on over in Syria. You know, a hospital was bombed and they blame the Russians. The Russians blame the Turks. And the Americans blame the Russians, of course. But, you know, when hospitals have been bombed, four of them already in a year in Yemen, by the Saudis, that doesn't make the news. But when a hospital is bombed in Syria, of which over, by the way, over 275,000 people have been killed in a needless war. And you remember President Obama. And by the way, in talking about President Obama, before I move on, at the last Democratic debate, the debate between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders was, who loves Obama more? Well, anyway, that Obama, the Peace Prize winner, let's call the Nobel Peace Prize a piece of crap, because that's all it is, given to people like Henry Kissinger, another mass murderer. You remember Obama, Assad has to go, the president of Syria. Who is Obama to say Assad has to go? Well, he's cruel to his people. Well, Syria used to be the most prosperous place in the Middle East. Do they have problems? Of course they do. Government frictions? Yep. A phony made-up country divided after the Ottoman Empire broke up after World War II, occupied by France from the end of World War I to end of World War II. That's Syria? Oh, yeah, destabilized. But it was very stable before Assad had to go. It was a vacation place. People used to go to all the time. You know, see the ancient ruins. And now the whole country's ruined. And then there was Hillary Clinton. Assad has to go. So when that's destroyed, they blame the Russians. Because the Russians were invited there by the sovereign nation. Unlike America, unlike Turkey, unlike France, unlike England, unlike Germany, that are now bombing, putting troops in, or, quote, intelligence in Syria. So when something happens in Syria, it's big news, but you won't see this big news. Again, when something happens that the Russians do, it's big news when people are killed. How about that U.S. airstrike that hit a Syrian bakery that just killed 15 civilians? Let's just call it collateral damage. Because Syrian civilians don't count. And now, of course, the Saudis are teaming up with the other mass murderers who started the Yemen war right from the shores of the United States, the heart of our nation's capital, on March 26, just about a year ago, when the Saudi ambassador announced from the United States that Saudi Arabia was going to invade Yemen to put back their dictator that the Yemeni people threw out. Well, that's who Turkey, they're teaming up with the Saudis, who were the initial people, along with the Arab League, to overthrow Assad. Now they're teaming up with them for a Syria invasion. So as I said, when all else fails, they take you to war. And the wars, again, when I said the Nobel Peace Prize should be called a piece of crap, yesterday, another day in Afghanistan, 52 Afghan forces were killed in what they call a two-day Taliban offensive, and now the Pentagon is ramping up the news. First, what they do is they send out trial balloons that the United States is going to increase its troop presence in Afghanistan to stop the Taliban. To stop the Taliban. Who was running the country before 9/11? The Taliban. Do you like the Taliban? I don't care. It's not my trip. It's their country. Oh no, the Taliban did not have strike 9/11. They had nothing to do with it. We wrote about this in detail in the Trends Journals. And by the way, the new Trends Journal is going out today to our subscribers, and you're not going to want to miss it. It's the only place in the world where you will read history before it happens. Anyway, going back to the Taliban and what happened on 9/11, well, they have a refuge for Osama bin Laden. And the Taliban said, no, we don't. And we're willing to turn them over. But no, and we're not going to talk to the Taliban, with George Bush's words. And they bombed away. And now they destroyed the country. And now they're going to continue to destroy it. Because the reports are that Americans are going to be staying there. And again, you look at the headlines of yesterday's Wall Street Journal, Russia is accused of bombing hospitals, but nothing when the Saudis commit murder. And you hear all of the candidates, from Bernie Sanders to Hillary Clinton to all of the Republicans, calling the Saudis our allies. Well, guess what? Our wonderful allies, the Saudis, reports suggests use of American cluster munitions in Yemen. That's right. According to Human Rights Watch, a report released on Sunday, Saudi Arabia has fired American-made cluster munitions banned by an international treaty in civilian areas in Yemen. And it goes, the Americans have sold arms and furnished training and expertise to a Saudi-led coalition that has faced widespread criticism for what rights groups call an indiscriminate bombing campaign against Yemen's Houthis rebels in nearly a year of fighting. And here's how the State Department spokesman responded. This guy, John Kirby. Yeah, you should look at this guy. This little military guy. Little boy. Spokesman. Disgrace. Quote, we have seen the Human Rights Watch report and are reviewing it. Obviously, we remain deeply concerned by reports of harm. Reports of harm. Harm. How about slaughter? No, harm, because the Saudis are our friends. They are our allies, the beheaders in chief. Yeah, where they got knocked off about 157 heads last year. Harm. If it was an enemy, this would be a very different report anyway. By reports to harm civilians and have encouraged Saudi-led coalition to investigate reports of civilian harm. How disgusting. How disgusting. America. And these are the little boys that wear medals on their chest. And don't forget to salute when the commander walks by, and put your hand on your heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance. Save it, Jack. Jack Kirby, John Kirby. Kirby crap spewing this out. And who's selling the munitions? We the people. Hey, the military-industrial complex got to make a buck, you know? What a disgrace. I go back to the economy, how it's failing, how they're covering it up by boosting these phony markets with con men, slick-talking snake oil salesmen, the Wall Street white shoe boys, how they're covering it up with the banks buying back their stocks and bonds. When all else fails, they take you to war. And you can see how well the propaganda works. It works perfectly because the people buy this stuff. Yemen, embattled city at risk of famine. United Nations warns. Ah, so what? So what? Roughly among the 7.6 million people in Yemen who are classified as severely food insecure by the United Nations. Yemen doesn't make the news at all. But when there's something that happens in France or in Canada, UK or US, people get killed, one, several, scores, it's big news. It's time for a call for war. It's time for the governments to rape you of your rights under the guise that they're going to protect you from terrorists. But it's just fine. It's okay. When our allies, the Saudis, slaughter Yemenis with the help of we the people. That's right. We the people supplying the armaments for the mass murder. Saudi Arabia is one of, like, they rank in the top five arms purchases in the world. And now they're putting those arms to work to, quote, harm people. Nobody cares about Yemenis. What's a Yemeni look like? Never saw one before? What are they? Ah, they're just them people over there. They don't count. They don't count as much as one white man. Nope. Not one English citizen, not one French citizen, not one American. They count for nothing. And we'll slaughter as many as we want, just like those Afghans. So as I said, when all else fails, they take you to war. And the wars are spreading, by the way. They're going down to as far as, South Africa. Like, not at South Africa, Africa, Central Africa. And now we're seeing, you know, from Senegal, throughout the whole area, Mali. You're seeing German troops in Mali now. The French can't get over their French Sudan trip, so they're back there. They need that uranium from Niger, which is right next door. And now you have U.S. and Dutch special forces training Senegal forces. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You know, what right do we have to be doing this? No right at all. But here we are, front and center, spreading the war words around the world as our infrastructure rots, as that Peace Prize winner, President Obama, well, he gave the people of Flint, Michigan over there with their poison lead water the grand total of $5 million to fix it up. But we're sending troops to Senegal to train them? How much is that costing us? Probably a bit more than $5 million. Probably 100 times more than $5 million by the time it's all said. And it goes on and on and on. More war, more hate building, and no end in sight. It's only getting uglier by the moment. And when you watch, for example, the presidential debates, all they do, every one of the candidates on the, particularly the Republican side, all they do is they call for more war. More war. Oh, they're going to get tough with North Korea. You know, they're gonna put this guy in their spot, that guy in their spot. Nobody talks about peace. No one talks about peace. Not a peep about peace from any of the candidates. And when you watch the debates, and these aren't debates again, these beat the clock. It's, you know, 90 seconds to answer a question about your foreign policy or how you're going to fix the economy and 60 seconds rebuttal. When you watch them, the hosts, which aren't hosts at all, they're prostitutes working for the major corporate media that's in charge of the campaigns, because that's all it is. They're running the election. They're running the show. So what we have here is them setting the stage as to what is going to be the dominant question asked and what the focus of the debates are going to be. From the prostitutes, you never hear any of them say, which of you candidates support peace? Not one. Not one. Not one. Peace is off the radar. There is no place for it in this campaign, in this country, or in the world. No place, no way, no how. Why not? Why is the world against peace? Or is it the world leaders that are against peace? How come everyone refuses to talk about it? We launched Occupy Peace this past September 20th. And of course, Gary Null was there, Dr. Robert Thurman, Ralph Nader, Cindy Sheehan. We've reached out to billionaires, multimillionaires, people to support, help us support peace. Not a peep. No one is speaking peace. What happened to all those baby boomers? Well, I remember back in there was those Vietnam years when we were getting drafted. Hey, you saw a lot of protests out there. What happened to the boomers? Well, they're supporting the wars now. They're not protesting. And how about those millennials? Where are they? Well, yeah, they're in Bernie's corner. Yeah, BS Bernie. And you know, Bernie Sanders, by the way, among other wars that he supported, including, and not ending with, of course, the Serbian Kosovo-Yugoslav wars that Bill Clinton launched. Bernie was a big supporter of those. Matter of fact, he got people arrested that were protesting against them because they were protesting illegally. And, of course, he voted to fund just about every war. He voted against the Iraq war, but never voted against funding it. Well, he also sponsored a resolution, a Senate resolution, for Gaddafi to stand down. That's right. B.S. Bernie. All the millennials are behind him. Not all of them, but a lot of them. I guess they break into two groups. The ones that get high on weed are the Bernie supporters. The ones that drink a lot, you know, the redneck kind, they're the Trump supporters, if you want to put it in a category of simplicity and kind of stupidity, just joking around, but not far-fetched. It's a disgrace. It's all a disgrace because none of the candidates are speaking peace. No one is really among the millennials leading a peace movement. There is no call for any accountability from any of the people, any of the senators, any of the congressmen. Where is everybody? Why is peace on earth not a great thing to have? And I'm tired of hearing these candidates, like from Donald Trump, who complained during Christmas time that Christ isn't in Christmas, who says now, you know, he'll go a hell of a lot worse than water torture, you know, waterboarding. He'll make it a lot worse, but yet he uses the name of Christ. And Marco Rubio, he's always talking about the body of Christ. That's Ted Cruz. No, Marco Rubio is the guy that keeps bouncing around from religion to religion, saying that he's been saved and reads the Bible, and he has, you know, firsthand knowledge of, you know, just what Christ wants and a connection to it. And I figured out what would really suit them fine are Prince of Peace bombs. It's perfect. Think about it. A Prince of Peace bomb. I could see it now. Yeah, Christ plastered all over it. You know, it's the ideal weapon. This way you could continue to be the hypocrite that you are. You win over the evangelicals. You win over the Christians. Keep pumping out Christ's name. And you could kill a lot of people in the same time. And that's all any of these candidates are talking about. How can we kill more people to bring, quote, peace, to end war? There's no talk about ending war. All they're talking about is continuing war. War with no end in sight. You heard that guy Leon Panetta, the former defense secretary. He expects war on terror to go on for at least another 20, 30 years. As our infrastructure is rotting, as our jobs are being lost, as our future is being robbed from us, nothing, 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 nothing about peace. But, hey, Saudis and Russians are working together, though. Let's face it. And the Iranians, that's right, They're going to freeze oil. Yep. Get those prices back up there. You see, it's all about money. You see how the Saudis and the Russians, the Iranians, all of a sudden now they all talk together when it comes to money? Because after all, it's money that makes the world go round and around and around. It never, never ends. They always use this line, by the way. No, it's religions, you know. It's not religions. It's money. And nothing has changed since, when you talk about Christ, since he chased the money changers out of the temple. Yeah, it's still the money game. So you can see the hypocrisy of it. How you see the Russians and the Iranians and Saudis particularly, you know, hating each other. But then when it comes to, hey, we got to get the price of oil up, it's less, let's make a deal. And that's all this is. It's let's make a deal. You're looking at the banks again. Follow the money. You're seeing how the markets regenerated growth. Follow the money. The market spiked up when the money men said they're going to buy back stocks and bonds in banks. So it's all about war. Not a peep about peace. It's all about money. And unless we the people do something to change it, it's going to continue like this. And on to the presidential reality show, by the way. What you have is a situation where the only thing I really like about Trump is that he showed what a fraud this whole thing is. And he showed what a little bunch of boys and girls are really running for office and what the party apparatus, how rotten it really is. And, of course, there's nothing about Trump. I mean, he says some things that, you know, I do agree with. And among them, the whole ridicule of George Bush, George W. Bush, for starting the Iraq War, which he did on the debates. He came out against, he said it was a lot of baloney, that Saddam Hussein didn't have weapons of mass destruction. So I admire him for those things, and I think it's a positive step forward. But what he's also done, and when I say this, please believe me, I know what I'm talking about in the field of politics because I began my career, I do know something about it. I began my career running political campaigns in Westchester County as a young guy out of graduate school. I was the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate, and I was the chief government affairs specialist for a large segment of the chemical industry back in the 70s. And, of course, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, Reagan's former assistant treasury secretary, is a contributor to the Trends Journal. And he, too, was up here to launch the, just before, and he was a pre-launch of the Occupy Peace Movement. So, you know, I do know what's going on here to some extent. In the old days, campaigns did not begin, presidential campaigns really, really launched until after Labor Day. This thing has been going on for almost 2 years. I'm saying this because there's time for a third-party candidate. It's not too late. Trump has opened the door for it. There's nobody standing in the way. Look how weak the Republican candidates are. I mean, look at them. You watch this guy, Ben Carson, and when's he going to finish a sentence? He always goes on to the army, blah, 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 blah. Marco Rubio, as Christie proved and we've been writing about, you know, this guy just repeats the same lines over and over again. He's that kid you hated in high school and college that wanted to be class president. The brown noses, suck-ups, You know, the overly ambitious and the insincere. And then Ted Cruz, I mean, this guy, you know, he's cruising for himself. He's going nowhere quick. And Jeb Bush is like a little kid. There's no one there on the Democratic side. Who is it, Bernie? B.S. Bernie? And Hillary Clinton? Oh, people are thrilled about another Clinton. And her playing the progressive liberal card. What a joke. Yeah, Gaddafi has to go. Assad has to go. A husband, a mass murderer with a track record that really is envious for any psychopath. You know, remember those no-fly zones over Iraq, folks? Yeah, remember as soon as he gets elected president, there's bombs over Baghdad? Remember Madeleine Albright on CBS with Leslie Stahl saying that the death of 500,000 Iraqi children under the age of five was worth it because Clinton put sanctions on it? So what do we have, a Clinton, a Sanders, or a Trump? Whoever wins with that element, we lose. And we lose badly. Yep. So, as we're winding down the clock here, I just want to give you a heads up on what else is going on in the world. And again, we say a lot of it in our, we say most of it actually, in a summarization of history before it happens in our Trends Journal that's going to subscribers today. And it's 54 pages, not one advertisement in it. Full color, and of course we suggest the magazine, the hard copy, but, you know, for those that don't want it, there's the online edition. And yes, we talk about war and the recession and the presidential reality show and the human waves of migrants, but there's much more than that. There's an analysis by Nomi Prinz, who wrote that wonderful book, a big blockbuster, All the President's Bankers, about what to expect, what's going on, and how it's going to unfold. We're looking at trends in robots and how they're going to play such a huge role in what's coming on and going down the pike. And on and on, I mean, from baby boomers and millennials and what opportunities to seize and which ones to avoid, with a whole host of other trends in self-sustainability, how countries could snap back and grow strong by taking the future in their own hands. For example, in the United States, we're a nation of what? Almost 320 million people. We could become a self-sustaining economy. We could make our own shoes and build our own computers and automobiles. But no, that's right. They're sending them back, more of them to, oh, Mexico. Mexico. Oh, NAFTA. That Mexico? Yeah. You remember? Bill Clinton's NAFTA. Yeah. But, of course, we won't talk about that because, hey, Hillary Clinton, that's her husband. So we can have a self-sustaining economy. And Carrier, the air conditioning people, yeah, they get all these tax breaks, loan guarantees over there in Indiana. Oh, they're moving to Mexico, too. And this whole thing with tax breaks, these economic development agencies, what a hoax they are. All they are, they're ways for big companies to give candidates who grant them special breaks, campaign contributions, which in real language is bribes and payoffs. And again, I got my master's degree in public administration, so I'm pretty familiar with these things. And they don't work at all, these so-called economic development agencies. You look at the data, it proves it. It's not speculation. For everything that they promise in return that we, the taxpayers, pay for and give to these companies, we get nothing back in return other than lost money. So those are just some of the things that we have in the Trends Journal. We have a whole bunch of trend. Of course, there's Anthony Frieda, the brilliant artist. There's drawing points. There's nobody like Anthony Frieda. This guy's off the charts, man, with his driverless cars. And of course, updates on what's going on in the millennial world, all kinds of information in new technology, in science. It spans way beyond. I talk a lot about economics and politics, geopolitics, but of course the Trends Journal goes on far, far beyond that. And I'm mentioning this to you because it's very important to stay ahead of what's happening. Prepare for the worst, because if the worst doesn't happen, you lose nothing if you're prepared for it. So the worst doesn't happen, but you're prepared for the worst. You lost nothing. But if the worst does happen and you haven't prepared for anything, you could lose everything. Oh, and by the way, on selling more fear and hysteria, yeah, last week they were coming out, watch ISIS bombs. Yep, ISIS bombs to come to a city, town, or state near you. Yeah. Oh, you missed that one. Well, they're going to keep sending out more fear and hysteria. Because remember, when all else fails, they take you to war. And the world wars are heating up. The planet's getting hotter, not only through global warming, but hotter and hotter as tensions build. And the place to look to next, keep looking at Ukraine. The government is in collapse. The corruption is running so rampant that even the International Monetary Fund warned them to stop the corruption. Russia's suing them now to get their money, $3 billion they owe them. When all else fails, they take you to war. Ukraine's going to go to war again. They're going to blame Russia. And NATO's going to move closer to Russia. The war drums are beating. Let's push for peace. Don't pray for it. Take some action. Let's try to stop it. The future is in our hands. Remember, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. So this is Gerald Celente, and that's some of Trends This Week. Mamma mia, mamma mia, mamma mia, daddy.